Tonight's topic is not a Purim-related topic, although there may be a Purim-related connection at the end. I was thinking about what topic to discuss tonight, and I saw Gedalia Wialga said Shachris this morning, told me his wife had a baby boy yesterday, so I figured in honor of a regular attendee of the Shir, who probably would not make it tonight, that we would discuss the bracha one recites upon having a baby, and not only upon having a baby, but the bracha one recites upon seeing somebody that they haven't seen in a very long time, because those two brachos might, or three brachos, might be very much related to each other. Now, it's an interesting thing that there is a Beferish Gemara that tells us that if a couple is zocha to have a baby boy, that there is a bracha that is recited, and the Gemara makes no comment, no suggestion, that at the birth of a baby girl, that a bracha is recited. So I want to discuss a little bit about some of the details of the halacha of having a baby boy and reciting the bracha, maybe even to discuss a little bit why is it that so many people apparently do not. I'm not going to take a poll right now, not enough people to take a poll, but if you take a poll and you ask people how many remember reciting a bracha when their baby was born, so maybe not so many. Maybe I remember when I was in Kolel, NYU, so my chavrusa had a baby girl, his oldest daughter was born, and sometime like 3 or 4 weeks later, someone informed him that there's this thing about reciting a bracha when a baby is born. And he said, oh my gosh, am I too late? She was already born 3 or 4 weeks ago. So someone had told him at the time, the time frame within which you can recite the bracha is when you're still excited about the birth. He's like, I would imagine in 20 years from now, I'm still going to be excited about my daughter. No, but not about her birth. Like, you're not going to go around to people and say, guess what? My wife had a baby 20 years ago. You know, that's there's the difference between the event of the birth versus the actual versus being happy, obviously, about having a child. So we're going to talk, hopefully, a little bit about the bracha on the birth of a baby boy and why that is a very well-documented bracha. The bracha on the birth of a baby girl, why that is not at all a well-documented bracha, and whether that bracha should in fact be recited. And then, if there's time, we'll transition from that into the bracha on seeing an old friend and whether that's still relevant nowadays, because that may relate to the bracha on the baby girl. The source for all of this is Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Nun Tesan Beis. The Gemara Brachos Nun Tesan Beis tells us that one recites a bracha Vatova Meitiv when you hear about something very good that's not only good for you, it's good for somebody else as well. It's good for multiple people. I remember when I got engaged, I called up Rav Shachter and I told him that I got engaged, and I asked him, Mishaila, whether my wife should recite a Shachianu on the engagement ring. And he said, not a Shachianu, but a Hatova Meitiv. Because he said, when it comes to something that only one person is very happy about, that's a Shachianu. But if multiple people are very happy about it, so then it's a Hatova Meitiv. When my niece just got engaged 2 weeks ago, the Chassan asked me the same Shaila. So I was like, we have, I guess, a family tradition to ask that Shaila at the engagement. But that's the rule. The rule is, when it's a Tova that's Al Shalov, Ve'al Shal Chavero, then you recite a Bracha Vatova Meitiv. That's why I often get the Shaila, a person buys a new car, should you recite a bracha when you buy a new car? So most of the time people don't buy a new car, they lease a new car. You don't make a bracha when you lease a car, but if you were to actually buy a car and it's a family car, then certainly a bracha of Hatova Meitiv. Someone just asked me recently, they bought a new dining room set, certainly something that the whole family is going to use. Should they recite a Shechianu? And the answer was, no, Hatova Meitiv, because again, it's something that's meant for the entire family. Did you do it? Yeah? Okay. So the Gemara tells us, is that really true that if no one else is sharing in the joy, then there's no bracha vatova meitiv? Vatanya amrule yolda ishto zachar omer baruch hatova meitiv. If they give you the good news that your wife gave birth to a baby boy, the assumption is that the fellow is not there at the time of the birth. They just give him the good news that his wife gave birth to a baby boy. He should recite hatova meitiv. There's only him. He's the only one that's happy. Whoever's giving him the news, I'm sure, is like sort of happy for him, but it's not the same. He's the only one that's really excited. Says Gemara, no, he's not. He's not the only one. Hasanami diika ishto bahadei denichala bezachar. You think he's the only one that wants a boy? His wife is also very happy with the boy. She also is excited about the birth of a baby boy. Rav Zilberstein Chashuk Echemet has an interesting shaila. If a baby was born on Shabbos and the guy found out through someone's chil Shabbos, the guy was, should you say, can you say a bracha v'atov ha'metu when on news, when the entire way that the news reached you was through an avera? So he quotes from his father-in-law from Avol Yashiv, he should wait till Motzoi Shabbos to say that atov ha'metu, that on Shabbos it should be like he says. He said you should treat it as if you heard a besura tova b'makom metunaf. You hear a besura tova and you're in a dirty place where you're not allowed to recite a bracha. So wait till you get to a clean place and you recite the bracha. I thought that was an interesting psak. So the Gemara assumes that that the wife is also happy with a zachar. There does seem to be an assumption in Chazal that people preferred a baby boy over a baby girl, not only because they're slightly less trouble to raise, but for other reasons, for whatever the reasons are, there does seem to be that assumption. For example, the Mishnah Maseches Brachos, when the Mishnah tells us that a person is not allowed to offer a tefillas shav, a person is not hatzoek l'sha'avar, harez a tefillas shav, a person davens for something that already was, that's already passed, that's a tefillas shav. So the Mishnah gives examples, like what? What would be an example of davening for what already was? Yeah, that my wife should give birth to a boy. Well, I didn't give the example that my wife should give birth to a girl. Most couples, you ask them, what do you want? What are you hoping for? They say, we're hoping for a healthy baby. But we know in the back of the father's mind, sometimes he's thinking, but it would be really nice to have a football catch with that healthy baby. You know, it would be but most of the time, primarily we want a healthy baby. We'll discuss, what if they really want a girl? I remember after my first four children were born, and they all happened to be boys, by the fifth pregnancy, we very much wanted a girl. We were, we were pretty open about it too. You know, it was pretty obvious that we were ready for a girl. We very much wanted a girl. So does that change the halach at all? Is this something that changes based on the social reality? Meaning, if you would literally be just as excited by a girl, or more so by a girl than by a boy, so maybe this halacha should apply by a girl as well. But the way it appears in the Gemara is very clear that yolda ishto Zachar, you say hatov ha'metiv. Shulchan Aruch paskins yolda ishto zachar mevarich hatov ha'metiv v'gam hi tzricha levarich kein. Interestingly, Shulchan Aruch says it's not just that you say hatov ha'metiv when more than one person is excited. If more than one person is excited, that means more than one person has to say the bracha. Meaning, whoever benefits from it has to recite that bracha. And that's pointed out. Beis Yosef quotes from Nagos Maimonios that you see that mistama any time hatov ha'metiv is recited, that everyone who is the beneficiary of that bracha should recite Hatova Ametiv. However, I saw in a sefer called the Fa'ir Levarich, they quote from Avol Yashiv that it's better for one person to recite it and everyone else to listen and answer Amen. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch is assuming they're not together at the time of the birth, that the husband is not with the wife, so they'll say the bracha separately. But if they're in the same room, so good, so let one of them say the bracha and the other one will answer Amen, and then you'll avoid any sort of sveikos. In fact, that's, I think, what the minhag is when they bring the second bottle of wine to the table. If they bring the second bottle of wine to the table, so there's a bracha atov ametiv. I don't think the minhag is that everybody says the bracha atov ametiv. One person says it out loud, everyone answers amen, and they're all yotzei with that bracha of atov ametiv. Good, so this is the halacha that one is supposed to say the bracha. So a couple of details before we get into the more interesting topic, which is the bracha on a baby girl, because the bracha on a baby boy is very straightforward. There's not much to really talk about, but just a couple of details. First, there's a discussion in the Rishonim. Do both parents have to hear about the news at the same time in order for it to warrant Hatov HaMetiv? Because if the whole reason you're saying Hatov HaMetiv is that more than one person is happy with the news, is it that the news itself would make more than one person happy? Or is it that the Shmua, that the bracha is on the Shmua, the bracha is not on the event, it's on the Shmua, and the Shmua happens with at the same time making more than one person happy? So the Rush writes in the ninth parak of Brachos that even if the husband is in some other city when his son is born, he still recites Hatov HaMetiv, and Shulchan Aruch paskins this way as well. And it's Meduyuk in the Gemara. What did the Gemara say? Amru lo, yolda ishtecha zachar. They told him, your wife gave birth. It didn't say Yolda Ishto Zachar, his wife, because what they told him implies that he wasn't there when his wife gave birth, and nevertheless, even though he's somewhere far away. So the Madani Yom Tov explains that the Chiddush and the Rush is that even if he heard about it Shalom B'Shas Leida, and at the time that he heard about it, the Simcha was only his Simcha. His wife was already over the Simcha. That was already weeks ago, maybe, by the time the husband hears about it. It's still Atov HaMetiv, and it's not a Shehechianu. You also see that, and it's critical in terms of distinguishing between this and the birth of a girl, is that you don't have to see the baby in order to recite the bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv. The husband never saw the baby. Someone just came and told him, your wife gave birth to a baby boy. That may not be the same when it comes to the birth of a baby girl. Now, a second issue, when do you have until to recite this bracha? So normally, by Birchas Shavach V'Odah, there's a machlokas haposkim, how long you have to recite the bracha. You know, the Taz writes in some Reish Chav Zayin that if, let's say, you see lightning, so toch kdei dibur, you have to recite the bracha. Once more than a couple of seconds passes, too late, you missed it. Prima Gadim writes, it's mistaver, that this bracha could be said even a little bit later, because it's a tovanim shachas. See, what's the thing when you say a bracha on lightning, on thunder, something like that, you saw something impressive, it was jarring, and it's that event, that experience, is what the bracha is on. By the birth of the baby, it's the simcha that comes with the birth of the baby. That simcha is going to be, hopefully, an ongoing simcha. So although the moment is the mechayev of the bracha, but it's the simcha that moment brings doesn't last just a moment, it goes on for a while. So it's mistaver that it'll be more than a toch kdei dibur from hearing the news that you have a baby. But how long? So the Eishel Avraham Mipachach writes that only if you get it in that moment can you say it b'shem malchus. After that, you say it without Shema Malchus. He says it's a chiddush in the first place that you would say a bracha on the birth, because normally you would wait till the baby's not a nafel, not a suffix nafel anymore, and until 30 days, you still have that gnawing doubt that maybe the baby's a nafel still. So only when it's 30 days does the baby establish himself as a ben kayama. So it's a chiddush that you'd say the bracha on the birth in the first place. So he's only willing to say b'shem malchus at that moment. However, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says 3 days min hashmua, 3 days from the time you hear about it. He says it's just like Birchas HaGomel, that you have 3 days, you don't have more than 3 days. Now, it could be that there's a fundamental distinction between Birchas HaGomel and this bracha. What's Birchas HaGomel reminiscent of? Meaning, why do we say Birchas HaGomel? It's based on the din in the Torah. What's the din in the Torah of Birchas HaGomel? Karban Toda, right? So to bring a Karban Toda, that can't be done like in an instant, meaning it's not shaykh that would be done in an instant. So it's mistaver that Birchas HaGomel should be patterned after Karban Toda. Karban Toda takes a few days to get your act together, get the Karban together. So it's more mistaver that you have some window of time for a Karban Toda or for a Birchas HaGomel. Not so with this bracha. It's on this moment. It's on the birth. It's not reminiscent or meant to be a zecher to anything. Rav Moshe Shturmach in Tshuvas VaHanhagos and Chelek Aleph Siman Reish says that he thinks that once you've already been to shul and told all your friends about it, after that it's too late. Meaning, when you first had your first time where you were in a public place and you were able to tell everybody, guess what, my wife had a baby boy, a baby girl. So that's when it's still exciting to you, which is an amazing insight into the way the way people work, the psychology of people, is that we are most, what excites us most when we hear something great, the ability to share it with other people, right? If we had no one to share the good news with, it becomes much less exciting. If we have no one, so that ability to share with other people, that's what Rav Shturmbach notices, that if you have the ability to share it with other people, and you're going to be excited to tell it to other people, then the excitement's still there. Once it's already been told, the excitement's not there. Now, when Rav Shturmbach printed Chelek Aleph of Tshuvas VaHanhagos, it was before Twitter. I mean, he probably still doesn't have a Twitter account, but still, at Gaivit, I guess. But it was before before Twitter. It was before email. It was before, you know, they had telephones, but there wasn't this kind of instant communication where everyone immediately knew as soon as the baby was born. And by the time the baby's home from the hospital, they already did the collection for the Shalom Zachar, and they already have everything. You know, that so I wonder how that would translate over into contemporary times. It could be that still there's nothing that's like getting those mazel tovs in person. So the first time that you're in a public setting where people are able to wish a mazel tov. Another interesting discussion that we alluded to before, again, before we get to the birth of a girl, is what if they didn't want a boy? They wanted a girl. As I gave the example before, you know, after each of our sons were born, I remember Dr. Jacob, my wife's doctor, would say, after the first boy, she said, well, the first boy she didn't, after the second boy, she would say, oh, I'll see you in 2 years. After the third boy, I'll see you in 2 years. After the fourth boy, I'll see you in 2 years. After my daughter was born, she's like, I'm not going to see you in 2 years, am I? So she didn't. But the idea that that a couple may very much want to have a baby girl, so Bir Alacha raises the shaila. Ready? Bir Alacha writes, Ledina yesh la ayin im yesh lo kama banim ve'im lo bas. Let's say a family has lots of sons and they don't have a daughter. V'ta'ev she'tivalid lo bas v'nola lo ben. And they wanted a girl, but a boy was born. Im yesh lo levarich birchas hatov. Should you recite Atov HaMeitiv? Was that really such great news? Achrei desofa davar hu delo nichle b'zachar. Because they weren't interested in they'll keep him, but they weren't interested in having a boy. They wanted to have a baby girl. Tzorich iyun, says Abir Alacha. Not sure. Chuvus Vanagel says, Shevi al tasa adif v'lo yivarchu. Since Abir Alacha leaves it as a suffix, don't say a bracha. Unbelievable. How do you measure that? How do you measure how much does it have to be that they admitted to that preference? Does it have to be that they were thinking that preference? Does it, you know, what if no one asked that? Like, what exactly does that, I'm not sure. I don't know how to measure it exactly. Well, I mean, it seems ungrateful that we don't say the bracha on a girl also, but we don't, right? Meaning, so it's not about grateful, it's about, and that's what the Bir Alacha is about, because it's clearly about the simcha of, you know, you knew a baby was coming, but the simcha of it being of it being a boy. So now maybe the simcha of it being a girl should be, now he does not say that if it's a girl you should say Atov HaMeitiv. He says that if it's a boy you shouldn't. Because it doesn't have that simcha when you weren't interested in a boy. But he doesn't say that if it's a girl you should say Atov HaMeitiv, which is also an interesting thing. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva in Siman Reish Mem Hei about Yerusha. He says, you know, a person receives a Yerusha. So what's the halacha? You receive a massive Yerusha. So what's the bracha? Shechianu, right? What if a person would say, you know what? No thank you to the Yerusha, I'd rather have my relative alive. I would imagine most people who receive a Yerusha from a deceased parent or something, they'd rather have their relative than have the Yerusha. So is that, but yet, there's still a bracha of Shechianu, right? What does the Gemara say? That you say, Baruch Dayana Emes on the Petira and Shechianu on the Yerusha. But it's not the result you wanted, says the Rashba. Yeah, there's a little bit of there's tsar for that, and there's simcha for that, and we have to compartmentalize. Right, but lechora, if there's this compartmentalization by Yerusha over here also, you know that the I may have wanted a different result, but this was a boon also, the fact that I have a son. You could argue that over there the Yerusha is different. The Yerusha and the Misa are really two different things. Over here, the Leda is one thing. Meaning, if someone were to say, let's say a person gets $1 million Yerusha, if someone were to say, you know, I'm giving you $1 million check without any, you know, of course you'd be thrilled. That, you know, getting $1 million has nothing to do with the Misa. It just happens to be that's how you got it this time. But when we're talking about the birth of a child, getting a baby boy has everything to do with the birth of a child, with the fact that that a baby was born. There are no two things that can be divided from each other when it comes to a birth. But it could be that that's the Bir Halacha Safek. Is the Ikur Bracha on the Toelas like a Bracha of Yerusha? And therefore, since Yerusha has a purpose to it, it has something, it has a practical benefit to it, so maybe the Ikur Bracha of Yerusha is for the practical benefit? Or is the Ikur Bracha on the Simcha that you feel? In which case, you would imagine the Simcha is not there at the Yerusha, and it wouldn't be the same if they were not hoping for a boy either. There's also discussion in the Poskim, in Bir Halacha, what if one of the parents dies? Baby's born, mother dies in childbirth. Is it still Hatova Ametiv? So do we assume, so what would be the tzadim over there? Meaning, okay, I understand why not, right? Meaning, what did the Gemara say? Why do you say Hatova Ametiv? Because the father's happy and the mother's happy. There's no more mother to be happy. So what are the tzadim? What's the tzad to say that there would be Hatova Ametiv in that case? So remember we said before that if the father hears about it separate from when the mother hears about it, the father says Hatova Ametiv also. Even though the Shmua didn't come to the mother just now, because it is good for father and mother. Now, even if the mother died in childbirth, which used to be a fairly common occurrence, it is good for father and mother that a baby boy was born. It's bad that she died, but it's good that a baby boy was born. And especially when you consider the notion of Brahma Zaka Abba, that having children is the best way to generate zuchios after a person is gone, that what their children do is a credit to them up in Shemayim. So this is good for the mother. It has practical benefit for the mother after she's gone. So it is good news for the mother, just as it's good news for the father. And therefore, maybe it would be Atova Metiv. So this also is an issue that's raised by the Bir Halacha. It leaves also a Tzaruch Iyun. And I don't want to get into right now, because I don't want to run out of time, what happens when you have a grandchild. Should you recite a bracha when you have a grandchild? Other than to mention that I saw somewhere, I think I have it written here, that Rav Shlomo Zalman was mesupik about this, and he asked, I thought I saw it here somewhere, that when a grandchild was born, he asked that they bring him another bottle of wine or something to the table so that he can make Hatova Ametiv. Like he created the ability to say a bracha when his first grandchild was born. He wanted to. Yeah, if you look in footnote number 7, Sefer Halicha Shlomo, Shagun of Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, Kishenolda Nechdoso Harishona. Oh, his first granddaughter, he kvar hayilo neched, bike sheyaviu lefanav beisu geyeno, so ubir chetov ametiv. He wanted, he asked for two types of wine, I guess one after the other, so that he could recite a bracha of Hatov Ametiv, because he wanted to express Hakaras Hatov to the Ribbono Shalom for that. Okay, now.
If someone has twins,
right, so twins, l'chora, yeah, meaning if you're chayiv multiple Hatov Ametiv, you could say one and pater all of them. So probably with twins, you would say only one Hatov Ametiv and pater both of them. The Rambam doesn't quote this whole halacha, which is stunning. You know, it's a Beferish Gemara, it's Korin Shulchan Aruch, but it skips over the Rambam. Rambam doesn't bring the whole thing. So there's a discussion in the Poskim why the Rambam doesn't quote it. Some suggest, well, anytime you talk about Shachianu and Hatov Ametiv, it's always a Rishus, it's not a Chova. There's a Ramo we'll talk about later, if there's time, that makes reference to this. So if it's only a Rishus, the Rambam's not going to bother quoting it. Others say, no, the Lashon the Brais is, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the Lashon the Brais is, Omru lo yolde ishto zachar. So it sounds like that this was an agonizing situation, and everyone knew that this couple was having trouble having a child, and that's why Omru lo, meaning as soon as people heard, oh, that couple had a child, so they run to tell them, oh my gosh, you had a child, because it was such an unusual, exciting kind of circumstance. But in a typical circumstance where someone has a child, the Rambam thought, maybe that doesn't require a bracha. It's only when it's a kind of thing that would become an Omru lo. It's a major rukimta to make in the Gemara, you know? Omru lo means that they were struggling, what, for how many years? 5 years? 10 years? Like, what does it take to qualify as a struggle? There's a tshuva in the Nedvi Yehuda where someone didn't have a child for something like 7 years, and then It's a wild tshuva. Nadvida is some of the craziest cases that were brought to him. It was a tshuva Nadvida. There was a guy, a couple didn't have a child for 7 years. The guy was deathly ill. He became very, very ill. He died. And 9.5 months after he died, his wife had a baby. And people saw, like, right after he died, she was hanging out with some other guy. And they wanted to know the yichus of the baby. Is it, do you have to assume that it comes from the husband? 7 years without a child. And he was deathly ill at the end. And 9.5 months. Oh, and she saw Dam. She was a Nida after he died. So what do you think? So you would think that's a slam dunk. I mean, find out who that other guy is, and that's the father of this child, right? Nadavita says, no, the father of the child is the husband. The fact that she saw Dam in the beginning of pregnancy, he says, I've spoken to doctors, Rov Nashim see Dam at the beginning of pregnancy. It's quite a statement, a medical statement. Rov Nashim see Dam at the beginning of pregnancy. You know how many phone calls I get? Someone, a woman is nervous. I saw a little Dam and I'm pregnant. What do I do? Okay, if first thing you do, you know, I'm not your first phone call, I'm your second phone call. Your first phone call is the doctor. Make sure everything's okay. So some of the Achorim actually write, yeah, Nadav Yudas says he spoke to doctors and Rov Nashim see Dam. In the Nadav Yudas time, who in the world would go to a doctor with their pregnancy? They never went to doctors with a pregnancy. You know when you went to a doctor with a pregnancy? If everything was going wrong. So yeah, from what the doctors saw, Rov Nashim see Dam at the beginning of the pregnancy. Then Nadav Yudas said, and as far as the fact that he was very ill at the end of his life, he said, maybe that's why they were finally able to conceive. Maybe there was, he had too much koach and the timing was off. And now, because he was ill at the end of his life, they were able to get. And as far as 7 years and not having a child, this is mechitesi, 7 years means anything. 10 years. 10 years is the halacha. Esr shanim blo vlad. That's when you need a shinoi makom or the Shulchan Aruch passes a divorce or whatever. 10 years. 7 years doesn't mean anything to me. So that's an irrelevant number in halacha. So I don't know. I don't know what the gedder would be. Would you say 10 years is the number that the Aruch HaShulchan's assuming? That they're so excited that this couple finally had a baby? Hard to know. Another suggestion some of the achronim say is that the Ram would also agree you say Atova Meitiv, but the Ram doesn't have to mention that you say Atova Meitiv when you have a baby boy. It's obvious. The rule is Shachianu when something really exciting happens just for you, Hatova Meitiv when something really exciting happens for you and somebody else. So good, obviously you say Atova Meitiv on a baby boy. Why bother mentioning it? I don't know. Why did the Gemara mention it? Meaning it wasn't so obvious. And guess what? It wasn't so obvious to the Gemara. The Gemara even asked, what's that of Amitiv? Who else is so excited? And the Gemara had to give an answer. Oh, the wife is also so excited. So that's a very difficult explanation for the Rambam. All very difficult. Very, very difficult to understand why the Rambam left it out. Equally difficult to understanding Shitas Rambam is understanding Shitas HaRashba. Because the Rashba writes, if a person has a baby boy, you recite a bracha, Shechiyonim. So he says, I don't see Gedolim do this, but he says, you know, it's just like Shechianu when you buy a house, that even if you own other houses already, when you buy a new house, you recite a Shechianu. You have a baby boy, you recite a Shechianu. Says the Darkei Moshe, it's against the Beferish of Gemara. The Gemara is explicit that the bracha is not a Shechianu, that the bracha is Hatova Ametiv. So one suggestion, maybe the Rashi was talking about where the woman died during childbirth. And he's assuming, that discussion we had before, he's assuming that if she dies during childbirth, then it would only be a Shechiyonu and not a Tova Meitiv. Hard to make such an ukimta in the Rashba. He doesn't say that. He just says, when there's a baby boy, you say Shechiyonu. Or maybe the Achronim suggests, the Darkei Moshe himself suggests, the Rashba was talking about where the husband was there at the Shas Leda. Not that he heard about it from someone else. And if he's there at the Shas Leda, he says a Shechianu. Only when you hear about it from someone else do you say Atova Meitiv. That requires explanation. Why would that be the case? There at the Shas Leda, you would think, Adrabah, that's more of Atova. I mean, remember we said from Beis Yosef before, that if you're both there, that's obviously Atova Meitiv, because not only is the same event making two people happy, the Shmua is coming to both people simultaneously. So that should be a more obvious Atova Meitiv. What does the Darkei Moshe mean by that? So perhaps what he means by that And with this we'll transition into the bracha over a baby girl, is the following. The Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Nun Ches on the Beis, Amr Bishur Ben Levi, Haroes Chaver Elach Shloshim Yom Omer, Baruch Shechion Mekimon V'Gion Elazman Hazeh. If you see someone that you haven't seen in a while, you see them 30 days later, you say a bracha shechianu. L'achar shnei asur chodesh omer, baruch mechaye ha-mesim. Someone you haven't seen in 12 months, a bracha of mechaye ha-mesim. Says in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is the first one to mention this. Says in the Mishnah Berurah, it seems that if you haven't seen a friend for 30 days, you say a shechianu, then kal v'chomer, when your daughter is born, you should say shachyanu. You haven't seen her for 30 days either. That's also a new sighting of a person that you're excited to see. Meaning, what's the yesod of the din that when you haven't seen a friend for 30 days, say shachyanu, is that you're excited to see somebody. So you would imagine one is excited to meet their new baby girl. So they're excited when their daughter is born. And therefore, it's a shachyanu. Ooh, now you understand where the Rashba might be coming from, if Darkei Moshe is correct. Meaning, the idea of a Shechianu at the birth is that I'm actually meeting the person. See, the Gemara's case of Atova Meitiv was you couldn't say Shechianu because you weren't meeting the person. It was an Omrim Lo. They tell the guy, your wife gave birth, but he's not actually meeting the baby. When you're actually meeting the baby, the brach is going to be a Shechianu on meeting the baby because it's the excitement of seeing this child. So if it's a Shechianu, then it's not going to be a Hatov HaMeitiv. You're not going to say both brachos. It's got to be one or the other. Still a little bit difficult why it should be a Shechianu and not a Hatov HaMeitiv. But that, if the Mishnah Berurah is correct, that's where you would imagine it comes from. I said Mishnah Berurah was the first one. He's quoting earlier Achronim. He quotes such a thing from the Prima Gadim. But apparently, again, the yesod of the chiyuv of Shechianu is different than Hatov HaMeitiv. Shechianu is meeting the child. Hatov HaMeitiv is the good news that a child was born. So if a person is away and they call him up and they say, oh, your wife had a baby girl, no Shechianu. But if he's away and they tell him, oh, your wife had a baby boy, yes, Hatov HaMeitiv. There are two different mechayvim. The Netziv suggests a different reason in Merom Esada to say Shechianu. He says, you know, lo gara mikana eved o shivcha l'shamsha. When you buy a new eved or a new shivcha to help you out, so you recite a shechianu, because they're going to be very helpful. It's a nice purchase. So you have a daughter. She'll mistama be very helpful around the house. So you should say a shechianu as well. So he says, but I never saw poskim say this, so therefore you shouldn't. But if there's a svara to say a shechianu, that's the svara. Such a good svara. Is it the same as an eved o shivcha? So even if the girl is very, very helpful, it takes a little while. No, at 2 weeks old, she's not so helpful. It's going to take a little while till she becomes very, very helpful around the house. So it's the utility you get out of having the child to serve you. An evident shivcha is a much better way to have. If you're interested in service, a child is usually not as effective, you know, certainly in the short term, as an evident shivcha. Very difficult. He says, the Netziv goes on to say over there, that maybe no Shechianu on the daughter, because in Agada we find that having a baby girl is not as exciting as having a baby boy. We find Divrei Agada along these lines. For example, the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Tezayin at the end of the first parak tells us that on the Pasuk, Vashem Berech Es Avram Bakol, so the Gemara is a machlokas, what does it mean that Hashem blessed Avram Bakol? So one sheet is that he had a daughter. And not only did he have a son, he had a daughter. And Rameir says, Shalo hayilo bas. And Acherim say, Bas hayisalo ubakol shema. He had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. So the Ibn Ezra makes fun of that opinion in the Gemara. The Ibn Ezra on that pasuk says, ridiculous. I had a daughter, her name is Bakol. And if you look there in the Ramban sometimes gives, you know, he sometimes gets upset at the Ibn Ezra. And over there, he really gets upset at the Ibn Ezra. He says, how dare you mock Divrei Chazal? Maybe if you had any inkling of what they were actually talking about, you would be shaking if you had any idea of who these people were and what they were actually talking about. The fact that they couched certain very deep ideas in pithy type of language, that means and you just take it at the surface, it's a foolish thing. Ramban gets very, very upset about the Ibn Ezra about that. But if you go with the shita of Rabbi Meir, that lo haisalo bas, so that's the bracha of bakol. And in fact, the Gemara over there tells us that after Rabbi Shimon Barebi had a daughter, so Rebbe said to him, Reviya ba'al yolam, you brought more people into the world, so that's good. So Bar Kapara says, Tanchumim shal hevel nichamcha avucha. It's comfort of hevel, it's an empty comfort that your father is comforting you. So you have these kinds of agadot gemaras that suggest that there wasn't the same natural simcha by a daughter. Very difficult for someone with modern sensibilities to relate to this. I don't know what it was like. It's hard for me to put my mind in the mindset of of what it was like to live in the Middle Ages or whatever. But with modern sensibilities, very hard to connect to this idea that it would be that you need a nechama. Hard to imagine. Very, very hard to imagine. What would be this? But bottom line is, Mishmur says you say a bracha, you say a shechianu, because it's lo gara from meeting someone new that you never met before. What's the svara not to say a bracha? Right? It's lo gara, meeting someone new. So, in fact, it doesn't appear in Rishonim. It doesn't appear in a Gemara anywhere. It seems that the Pashup Shad is not to say a bracha. If it's a Mishaburu B'Shem Prima Gadim is the earliest source we have to recite a bracha when a baby girl is born, in the ABCs of learning halacha is as soon as you see a halacha, you find the Gemara or the Pasuk, you find the earliest point, which is usually a Pasuk or a Gemara. And if it's not, you start getting a little suspicious. Okay, Rishonim, Minhagim Kodim Rishonim, or Gaonim, good. Mishabur B'Shem Primagadim, that's the earliest source. That doesn't sound like it's such an, it was something that was very widely accepted. Rav Moshe has an unbelievable chiddush. He says, of course it was widely accepted. Rav Moshe, and if you look in footnote 10 over here, I quote the Lashon Rav Moshe from Aruch Chaim Chelukei Siman Mem Gimel. He says the idea that the Mishnah Berurah says Hutam Gadol, the Achrei Shnodel Lo Bas who Sameach B'Riyaso, so Kestam In Sheyafilu Aniim Shaduchukim Parnasasim Smeichim. Rav Moshe says maybe you might think that a person, as soon as his daughter is born, he's thinking, oh, how am I going to pay for the chasana? I can't support my, how am I going to pay for the chasana? No, he says, people, no matter how poor you are, you have bitachon in Hashem that if he's given you enough to put food in your mouth, he's going to give you enough to put food in one more mouth, in this child's mouth as well. And it's only simcha that you feel. And then he writes, Yeshmakom lomer delo pligi alzeh, dimishum hapshitus lo kasluzeh. Why is it that none of the Rishonim and none of the other poskim, and even in the Aruch HaShulchan, it doesn't mention this? It's so pashut, no one had to mention it. It's a stunning thing to say. That it's so pashut that you say a Shechianu and a Bas, that no one had to mention it. Okay, but what's the other explanation? Give me a Va'od Yeshlomar, right? Why else would other people not mention it? Would there not be a bracha of Shechianu on a daughter? So a svara pshuta to be mechalek between the case of a friend you haven't seen in 30 days and a daughter is that your daughter, when she's born, is not someone you haven't seen in 30 days. It's someone you never saw. So the bracha is not made. Let's say you meet a new person. You go to summer camp for the first time in your life. So everybody you meet, you're from Chicago, Atlanta, a bracha on every single new person, a new yeshiva, every single. We never heard of such a thing. No, it's dafka on someone that you already know, and therefore there's a yearning for them because you miss them, and now you get to see them again, so you know what you are excited about. No, I think it's only if you're excited to see them, only if you're happy to see them. If somebody you don't like, no bracha, right? And you don't yet know if you're going to like your daughter. I wouldn't say that, but it's dafka that if you know the person before. Rav Sivya quotes this chilik, and he says he doesn't buy it. He says, the idea that you make a bracha on someone that makiro, that you recognize him, that you know him, that's because otherwise you wouldn't be excited. But he said the bracha is not about the fact that you know the person. The bracha is about the excitement in seeing the person. Well, with your own child, the excitement's naturally there, even if you don't know your child yet. The excitement is naturally going to be there. Let's say, for example, I've never met Rav Chaim Kanievsky in my life. So let's say next time I go to Eretz Yisrael, I meet Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So I would be very excited. I don't know him. Maybe we're not going to get along. He's going to say buha, and I'm going to start schmoozing, and it's just not going to. We're not going to get along. Maybe. How do I know that I like him? No, but I know. I know everything about. Of course, it's going to be very exciting. So they quote that the Munkach Rebbe, the Milchas Elozer, when he saw the Saba Kadisha, he never met him before. He said a brach because it's on the Hargasha. It's on the Hargasha of being excited to see someone. Normally, you're not excited to see someone if you don't know who they are. Shlomo Zalman says a different svara, why not say a bracha on a daughter. He says, when you see a friend that you haven't seen in 30 days, when you do see them, you know that you've seen them. Meaning, you know who they are. Oh, that face, that's my friend. If I were to meet Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I've seen a million pictures. That face, that's Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right? But if you see a newborn, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, they all look the same. I mean, you're not supposed to say that to new mothers, but I mean, they do. They all look exactly. The father, when he goes to the nursery, you know how he tells which one is his? The name on the bassinet, that's how he tells which one is his. He doesn't really know which one is his. They all look exactly the same. When he saw the baby for a minute, so says Rosh Hashanah, I don't think you could say a bracha on that because you don't recognize the person. There's no tzvias ayin on the individual. So that's what Rosh Hashanah says. Now, Rosh Sturmbach in the Tshuva and Chelik Beis and Kuflan Beis writes, Ve'ein dvarim brurim etzli shebechaveru medubar shemeshtokek lerosov and nenebekach, he says, with a friend, it's about being nena from seeing the person. The bracha of shechianu should be daughter should be more about the goodness that Hashem has given you, but we don't find it in poskim, so I'm not comfortable saying a bracha over here. So it's not clear in poskim that a bracha is supposed to be recited, but it's something that the Mishnah Berurah said. Rav Moshe backed up the Mishnah Berurah on this. And Rav Moshe says, I know that you're going to tell me Shachianu in general is only a Rishus. Says Rav Moshe, I don't care. This is something, it's such a strong svara that this is an appropriate thing to do, even though it's only Rishus, say it and say it with Shema Malchus. The Tzitz Eliezer also, very strongly, say it with Shema Malchus, and don't bring me Svara Savi Brachs LaHakel, and it's only Rishus. No, it's too major an event in a person's life not to recite a bracha on it. And in fact, in Orchos Rabbeinu, it says that the Stipler rather said a bracha on Leidas Habas. Rav Shechter told me that he heard from Rav Salvechik similarly that you should follow the Mishnah Berurah on this. I mean, there are certain events in life that if there's a posik that says you could say a bracha and you know that it's such an overwhelming feeling that it's going to be this life-changing simcha, you say the bracha. You don't go with the svara of Savi Brachas Lakam. Okay, we didn't get to the part about seeing a friend, but okay, at least we covered having children.